We are going live right now.
Oh, are we live?
We got your nice ch-ch-ch-ca.
Ch-ch-ch-ca. Welcome to episode 115. We've now become a Hearthstone podcast. Surprise!
Become a what?
Hearthstone. Hearthstone. Brian and I are just going to talk about Hearthstone all episode. We've been playing. Katie's been playing his Hearthstone account to get him
she's
cards.
She's been farming for him.
She's been farming for him,
basically. And explaining
him
how to play.
And teaching him how to play.
Yeah. It's actually fun.
Like, literally, at one point, we were sitting on the couch at my house with him in the middle, Katie and I on either side being like, no, you play it like this, Brian. Literally, three-player playing Hearthstone.
I did a couple things wrong.
You did do some things very wrong.
You're like,
it's not that difficult to do things.
Apparently it is.
You played Magic before. That's basically Magic.
You would think he would understand.
They were showing me very, very efficient ways of doing more things.
They weren't complicated. It wasn't splitting the atom.
I was trying to use the weapon on my opponent.
He was like, have you played Hearthstone, right, Andy?
Yeah, I've done a lot with Hearthstone.
He was playing a shaman.
Okay. Yep.
And he was only using his weapon. When he put a weapon on his shaman, he was only using it to attack the enemy hero. He never once attacked minions.
Well, the minions would hurt me.
Well, the minions would hurt you.
That's true, but the weapons are like... That's like one of the major removals a shaman has, is like some really good weapons to remove minions.
They poke them back.
No, you just make sure you have your little snake totem thingy.
Just the one snake totem?
And then
that's
you have,
all you need.
Then you have the other totems that make your snake totem a 2-2.
Although the flame totems, yep. Flame totems are amazing.
Then you went, see?
Mm-hmm. Although I like flame totems next to Wind Fury guys, because that's always the bomb.
I only have one more fight, and I have all of Nexoramus unlocked.
I know.
I don't even have all of Nexoramus unlocked.
Katie helped him a lot.
She did the first six, I did the last eight.
Oh, I thought she did the first two waves for you.
Well, the last eight. She did eight, and I did at least 10.
Okay,
I did half the class challenges.
Okay, yeah. That sounds right.
Because she unlocked all she cared about for cards.
She unlocked the Hunter stuff, and she's like, I'm done now. All I want to do is play Hunter. She does love the Hunter.
Maybe
I need to have Katie farm my guys.
I don't know that I want my wife farming multiple Hearthstone accounts. She's going to have you on her phone, and then Brian on her iPad, and then she's going to borrow my iPad and be playing three games of Hearthstone, and I'm just going to come home to that one day.
Yeah, like, I quit my job.
Yup.
Yeah, she's professional Hearthstone. I'll give her a dollar. She'll take it.
She would take it.
She loves dollars.
I will pay $5 a day.
Wow.
Maybe.
Katie's not allowed to hear this podcast anymore because she will take you up on it.
Well, I mean, if she would have, she must kill me on Sunday with it when I hit
she
the
did
disc.
Almost kill you.
I should have just threw a die.
You should have, so if afraid. You had thought of it.
So I hit Katie in the face with a disc.
Yeah, right here, right under the
so
eye.
I'm 3 feet away, and it was an accident.
But you still did it.
I did. Well, I was throwing a second disc, and she just walked in.
He threw his first disc. And so then Katie was walking by the basket because he'd thrown already, and he was a little bit angry, and so he threw a second disc. He was just like, and then hit her in the face with it.
For the half second where she was confused what's happening to her face as the disc is, everything was in slow motion. The disc hits her face and it's kind of rippling a fucking scene in a slow motion movie. And then all I can think to myself is, she's going to kill me. I hope she's okay. It's, I'm going to die now. And I didn't have time to grab my wallet. I should have just thrown my wallet at her and run. That was the only play I had. But I just stood there, and then she comes over and just starts pounding the fuck out of me. And I'm like, I should have ran!
She literally walks over to him with four discs in her hand,
yeah.
And as close as she can stand to him, throws them as hard as she can at him, all four discs.
She almost cut my glasses out. That was the one throw that was actually kind of scary.
That was a little scary.
And then Casey, in that stupid shot earlier in the day that gets me right in the Achilles tendon, practically. Almost.
It was the same day.
It was a rough day to be Brian at disc golf. It was a lot of. I was limping by the end of it.
You were limping before the end of it.
We should probably introduce ourselves real quick.
Oh, yeah, let's do that.
I'm Brian, and I'm currently playing a priest deck. and I run tournaments.
I'm Jeremy, and I read Dresden Files books, and I play. I like my shaman deck at the moment.
I'm Andy. I'm burnt as a crisp.
You are burnt to a crisp.
Yeah. I saw a lot of bands, and I don't even play games.
Depending on how your skin, peels, you could literally play face off. You could literally just peel your whole face off in one.
Do you see
stretch.
This line right here that goes across?
Only
kind
a
of
little.
Only a little. It's mostly red above and below.
Because what happened is, since I found out my car has no air conditioning, which is awesome when traveling.
No.
I found out my car has no air conditioning, so I had to buy a hair, like a bandana, because otherwise my hair flies around everywhere, and it's so fucking annoying when hair is flying everywhere and you're trying to drive. So I had that bandana on, and my forehead was nice and smooth this morning, and now there's like a crease down the middle of my forehead. Nice. It is awesome. Yeah.
I think we have a pretty simple set today.
We do.
Announcements, probably go over the six pack.
Yep.
Probably have a mini Mad Max topic.
Well, we have to at least mention it, yeah.
Andy will summarize band.
I've seen it twice.
I figured you would.
I saw it when I was down there.
Because it's an amazing movie.
We'll have a Pitch Perfect.
Oh, yeah. It was actually really good.
I don't know which movie I
liked more. We double featured, and Mad Max was amazing, and I'm arguably not sure which one I liked more.
Get out of my fucking podcast, sir.
Well, Chili Winner is like, I saw both, and he's like, I mean, that's a brilliant idea, Chili.
Yeah, I'm
going to pull a Chili here and just see both.
Yeah, that is a true story. Katie had made me promise we would see Pitch Perfect 2.
Okay.
And Brian wanted to go see Mad Max. So Katie had to work for a little bit, so we went and saw Mad Max without her, and then we called up Katie, and then we got together and went and saw Pitch Perfect 2.
I wish life was like a Pitch Perfect movie.
That would be amazing.
That's what heaven is to me. I'd be in the movie of Pitch Perfect. Like,
would you be Fat Amy?
I don't care who I'd be. You just keep playing different characters' roles.
Oh, there you go.
Have you seen the first one then?
Yeah.
Maybe I've never seen it.
Katie made me watch it a few weeks ago because she knew this one was coming out and she wanted to go watch it together.
I assume it's just a comedy.
Yeah.
A comedy slash musical.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely... It's a comedy musical. And I mean, there's a little bit of like sub-romance, a little bit, like, you know, like a little bit. But it's mostly
rom-com.
Funny. Yeah, slightly rom-com. The first one has more rom-com than the second one does.
Although the second one's rom-com.
It's hilarious.
It's amazing. So, yes. But anyway, so announcements. Shit's coming up.
You can at least announce the next six pack.
Travis stole his stuff back.
Yeah.
We'll get to the Travis stuff later.
June 20th will be the second six pack event. This will be a 50-point event. Dice roll at 10. Try to be there at 9. We actually had the event, which was mentioned soon. We start within about. Mm-hmm. We had dice going by about right when I won. It was like 10:15-ish, 10:16-ish.
Yeah.
I won a dice rolling. Yep. It was actually, no, it was like 10:10.
No, it was like 10:10. Yeah, it was not 10:15.
Yeah,
no.
Second event. We had 38 people in the first one. I think we can potentially get over 40 for the second one. A couple people had some last-minute issues and couldn't make it.
Right. That planned to come to the other six packs.
Yeah. Cheddar came in and slept in.
Is that where he was? I wondered why he wasn't there.
I sleep in once. I miss one event every 5 years due to sleeping in. So Cheddar, I hold you to the same standards. You can't miss one.
All right, so he's missed his one. 5 years.
And there's also an event in Nebraska going on, so all like the hardcore tournament people who make people sad were in Nebraska.
That is true.
So there was not that kind of like stigma. It was actually bizarre. When the event was over, I had more people, way more than normal, saying, man, that event was laid back and fun, and there was like, you know, almost 40 people there, and that's, you know, five rounds. People were just chill the entire time. There was no drama.
Like I couldn't decide if it was because it's 35, which helps,
yeah,
or if it was just literally the lack of the super competitive crowd, because...
And people like, we still have...
Like, we had competitive players there. But like, it just wasn't... I play in Masters Qualifiers. Alex and JR play in Masters Qualifiers. Travis plays in Masters Qualifiers when he's not running cons. Jordan definitely plays in Masters Qualifiers. Like, we had...
Which Jordan?
Jordan Knock was... Yes. Jordan Knock was
Jordan
at the...
Jordan Bouchway.
Was at the qualifier, I assume.
Yeah, he was in Nebraska.
But yeah,
he won it. I think he won it.
Did he win it? I actually don't know who won the Nebraska qualifier.
Well,
good to him.
Yeah, he had a good day.
Good on him.
Nice.
But yeah, like we had some very competitive players there, but not like the when you think of the hardcore tournament crowd.
Yeah,
we didn't have any.
Well, the people that want to drop when they lose their game. You know?
Yeah, like those people.
Although in a six pack, it'd be disastrous.
You wouldn't want to do that ever in the six pack.
And I have all the prizes there for the attendance, but yeah.
No. Because what it is like. I assume you've mentioned this to people, but like basically every game you win over the course of the six pack is your score.
Yep.
And then after that, it's like strength of schedule and all that. So
yep.
It's literally however many games you win. You only get to count five of the six events, but there's no reason to drop. Like that's just shooting yourself in the foot.
And then like the tiebreakers are like whoever got won the most of their factions.
Sure.
I got a whole equation. But yeah, we gave out a ton of prizes. The guy who won the Kickstarter mile didn't even know that was one of the prizes. He was all like,
he was pretty excited.
This? Why did I win this? What's happening? What did I do?
And the guy with the Scorn Army box was like, no, I have two.
Yeah, he has a problem.
So he has a problem.
Russell, Scorn Player, got the Tiberian Prince. So is that
what? Yep, he was very excited about that.
Rick won yet another. He was the first.
Rick wins so many raffles.
Yeah, I might have to ban Rick from raffles.
He is the king of Madison.
Sorry, raffles. Rick, you can't have any more raffles.
And then
done.
Or are we just jumping in to talk about the whole event?
Well, at this point? And the only other upcoming events, obviously, Lock and Loaded is coming up soon. But if you know if you're going to them, we're not the people that are like, what's Lock and Loaded?
What's Lock and Loaded?
Please tell us, Scribble System. We've never heard of this event before.
I'm going to Rock and Load.
Yeah.
You are going?
Yeah.
Because you went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth.
Right? I bought my ticket like 2 weeks ago.
I may need you to bring a model back for me.
I'm a model.
Not buy it. Oh. Charlie Foster is painting me Azuriel. And him and I were discussing when we were going to see each other again, and it's going to be a very long time. Because I can't make Lock and Load, and he can't come to Gen Con.
You should probably mention to Charlie.
Right, so soon. I don't know if it'll be ready or not. It's on his painting queue. He's already working on it. But if it's ready...
And grab my rock bottom from him, too. He owes me a rock bottom. I told him, he was like, he's sitting, just grab me a rock bottom and paint and get it to me.
Okay.
I lost my other rock bottom, or lost and slash stolen.
I feel like that's a you problem. We're talking about me right now.
But Charlie wasn't giving me another one.
I'm staying with Charlie.
Yeah, see, so, there you go. Give me a rock bottom.
So leave room in your foam for Azuriel.
I have to build new foam for the trip, too.
There you go. Perfect.
And the other announcements, that's all I got.
Announcements, there's DICON coming up.
Yeah, DICON's late June. It's the same weekend as Six-Pack.
Yeah.
So,
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring that up.
Oh, that's fine.
Alex and JR becoming a peer?
Yeah, Alex and JR decided to come here instead of go to DICON that's in their hometown.
Well, we talked to them, and they spend, and we do consume, like, we kind of like with them, Keith Hooks follows around, and
we follow them around, yeah. And they're going to stay at my place again. They had fun. They came over. We taught them disc golf, which they'd never played before.
Oh, nice.
And they had fun. JR is going to try to get Megan to play. He's not sure how that's going to go, but he brought some discs home with him to try to convince her to try it out.
Never. It's so cruel, the local,
They were looking at pictures of, like, they have two local courses there were near where they live, and they were looking at them, and some of the holes look pretty rough. One of them almost crosses a road. Like, it runs along a road for part of a hole.
I would never drive down that road if I had a car. That's like, right? Not where you want to go.
Well, one of them, the as you're looking at the basket, directly behind the basket is a parking lot. And it was just all these car. All you could see is just car windshields. And I was just like, how? I would never park there ever.
I need to get some discs and actually do that.
I have a bunch of spare ones if you want to just have some.
Nobody ever calls me.
We haven't even called. It was funny. We were all like, once, I'm like, I haven't even just with Jim yet. Because,
I know.
Everyone wants to go, but Jim is like the one person who usually takes long sometimes. And he haven't been out there.
Well, we went just like literally we were talking about it the night before after the tournament. And Alex talked Alex and JR into it. So we're like, all right, I guess we're going tomorrow.
That's cool. I'm sure you guys went to the Pancake Cafe afterwards.
We, of course, did.
Yeah.
Because that is...
Well, actually, that's Alex's favorite place in Madison.
Except for that one time he had the... You were there the one time he had the horrible experience. No. He got like a pecan or pancake or something, which John literally got this last time, and it was delicious.
Yeah.
But Alex got it one time, and it was just horrific. Like, he just didn't even eat it. It was so bad.
The only bad experience
of anyone I've ever seen at Pancake Cafe was Alex.
Oh.
But he still enjoys going to Pancake Cafe.
Yeah.
So... Indeed. But yeah,
it was delicious. So, Six Pack, or should we change topics, talk about, you can list all the bands you saw?
I'd have to look at my Facebook
calls
to actually get that.
Do you have any band rock stories?
Nothing really. I have a bad story on the way down there. We decided we're going to stop at a Steak and Shake, because my two friends are riding with me, and they're like, hey, I've never eaten at a Steak and Shake. Never eaten there. I'm like, oh, this would be awesome. Let's go here and let's eat. I got into the place, and it looked like it was all from, it just, there was like a whole bunch of huge people there. There was a leaky ceiling.
Oh my goodness.
It was, we sat there for like a good like 20 minutes waiting to be seated. It was probably one of the worst experiences I've ever had at a Steak and Shake. My favorite is my friend who got Cajun fries. He had to upsell it to like 29 cents more for Cajun fries. They came out and they looked like they took the same Cajun seasoning that's at the table and just sprinkled it onto his fries. So it wasn't actual Cajun fries. It was just seasoning.
Seasoning on the fries.
Put on fries.
Wow.
That he got charged extra for.
That's kind of hilarious and terrible all the same time.
Yeah. So yeah, the whole trip then after that, we were talking about, getting Cajun seasoning for him for whatever. Bands on Friday. God, if I can even remember. I know the ones I really cared about seeing was like Sabaton, Saxon. There was Judas Priest. Volbeat, Anthrax. I can't really think of any of the others. Slipknot was actually pretty good there too. Oh, nice. But yeah, it was really cool. I have a bunch of pictures up on my Facebook wall.
Yes, you do.
I figured out how to take pictures.
You posted a picture of you in a photobomb of someone. But how did you get
how did
that
you
picture?
Get the picture? I wondered the same thing.
Yes.
I mean, I guess that you photobombed somebody, but then you had the picture.
Yeah.
That was where the problem was. Like,
the creepy thing is that I said, they knew I was photobombing them, uh-huh. And then they were like, showed me the picture. I'm like, you should just send that to me. So I got a nice creepy picture of me. I got a couple of creepy pictures of me. I got me looking like I was all burnt wearing my t-shirt for a hat. On Sunday, and then there was
non creepy pictures.
I was gonna say, yeah, but I didn't want to be the one.
Me and my kitty. That's not creepy. Maybe the one when I was in kindergarten. That's not creepy. But yeah.
All right. So here's the important question: how many times did you get asked if you were holding over the course of the weekend?
Oddly, none.
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 Because with you in the t-shirt, like I figured for sure that day.
Usually, whenever I go to a concert, I'm always asked if I'm holding in some way or another. For those that are uneducated out there, that's if I have drugs. But yeah, no, I didn't have that. Out of all the big shows that I've been to, this was probably the most clean one I've been to. I mean, there was obviously a lot
prostitutes were cleaner than normal?
Yes, prostitutes were cleaner than normal. Yeah, they took showers before and after. No, but there was a lot of the devil's lettuce being smoked there. For those of you who don't know, that's pot. Code words, yes. There was a lot of the devil's lettuce. I think what helped curb the drunkenness at this event was the fact that beers and most drinks cost $10.
Yeah, that'll limit you. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, there was a lot of expensive drinks
there.
There
was a lot of people there, too. Those pictures had,
it was a crowd.
That was a huge crowd.
I don't even know how many people were there. But I'm very glad I did not go. Well, we had only stadium seats, mm-hmm. So you could just pick up a seat anywhere in the stadium, yeah. But we could not go down to the floor,
okay.
Which I didn't want to be there anyway. Because I was on the floor at a couple of events. The one where I saw it in flames at, I was up with my friends. We got kind of close to the event. And then people were being body passed over us. One of my friends got kicked in the head. I decided, because I had a margarita in my hand, a little frozen fruity margarita. That was awesome. But I ended up deciding to go back. And then instead of having people being passed over me, I ended up having to help people get lifted up to be body passed. Yeah. But no, it was overall, it was a good time.
I would just try to drop as many people as possible.
Well, not everyone's like you, Brian.
I'm just saying.
Well, it's a good thing because you would be the one letting them drop, but then there would be like six other people around you that would be helping them.
Yeah.
I'd find a way.
I have seen people about my size being lifted up and body carried, and that's not right.
No.
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 No. No, there should be no dwarf tossing. We did see a gal in, I think it was in this moment, that had a... she was in a wheelchair and she was being bypassed with her wheelchchair.
With her wheelchair.
And right as the lead singer pointed out to her how cool it was, she just got dumped.
Nice.
So,
I mean, she didn't expect that with Gordon.
At some point that was going to happen, yeah.
Yeah, you can't really balance a wheelchair like that.
Not so much.
It would have been really creepy if that's how she ended up in the wheelchair.
Oh. That's terrible.
But yeah, the only thing that kind of sucked about it is that all the bands only had like, besides the main stage bands, only had like 30 minutes to play.
Oh, wow. That's not
so one. There's a band, Saxon, that's been around since like 1980. They've put out like 20 some albums.
And they got 30 minutes.
So they got 30 minutes to put out, you know, 20 albums worth of material.
Yeah.
No. What? Okay. What are you talking about Saxon for? You talking bad about Saxon?
No, I thought maybe Pathfinder.
Saxon Oric. Pathfinder.
Oh.
I got it.
I did not. I thought you were talking about the movie Pathfinder.
No.
I thought maybe
the
Billy Pathfinder. It was figured.
But yeah, we're probably gonna make it a go again next year. I'd like to get tickets to go see Wacken or Wacken, which is a large event that happens over in Germany. Oh, cool. Similar thing, 3 days of metal bands.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
Not my thing, but very cool for you.
Yeah.
Keep the audience away, and I could be more interested.
In metal music?
Oh, yeah, just, you know.
I don't know that you're really a metal guy.
Everyone just sits down quietly listening, you know, respectfully.
I'm not sure you understand metal.
I want the same audience. Like, if you went to, like, a orchestra playing, you just sit and you observe. That's what I want in every kind of audience in a band. It'd be actually pretty creepy if you went to a metal place and they all just sat. That would just fucking freak out.
They were kind of upset because there's been a lot of people sitting down up in the stands and that. I mean, you generally, when I go see a show, I am never up by the... I have long hair and people like raising their fists in the air. It catches my hair and it sucks. So generally, I'm all the way in the back listening to them, watching them, drinking my beer, and not have to worry about people running into me.
Which is nice.
Which is nice, yes. Plus, I'm old and...
and crotchety.
I'm very, very crotchety.
And you're there for hours, so it's okay. Yeah. Sitting's nice.
Yeah, sitting is nice. That was the big thing, is that there's no place to sit for a long time. My feet hurt. My face hurts, too.
My face hurts just looking at your face.
Yeah. It was much worse last night.
I imagine.
I can't feel it now today, so I'm sure once it starts peeling, it'll be like a face off.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep. You want to switch faces?
No. Nope. I'm good, thanks.
All right, and that was my weekend.
Very cool.
Six pack.
Oh yeah, six pack.
First, shout out to Dan, who helped run the event. He was there early to help set up and get things going. And
he did a great job.
He was invaluable.
Yes.
Yeah, how fast did your guys' data entry take?
Really good. Because we had everyone bring two lists, so we just got, you know, almost like a few minutes after round one started, we already had list validation done. We weren't making the first one, you know, required for it, but
sure,
that went really fast. You worked really well. Once you get that many people, I prefer paper without, you know, the program, but. And honestly, for reporting, I was able to copy paste some of that crap into Excel.
Yeah, I mean, you got to use OU for that many people. It's just too much.
Yep. And so 38 people. We had enough. We had more table setups. We were able to, because we first round, the people were kind of tight together, but we were able to space the table numbers out. We got table numbers. They had to print up the round. So there was maybe 10 minutes between round max. And
yeah, it flew. Yeah.
One thing we have to announce for future events, we use Master Clock, but we don't make people wait. Basically, we send people to the table, start when ready, and the Master Clock is basically, once the round ends, I want the next round to start. Master Clock starts within 15 minutes of that.
Yeah.
So if we get the next round out within like a minute, we're shutting up, pairings are up, Master Clock starts in 10 minutes.
Yeah, yep. Well, and the funny thing is, the only person that didn't know that was Nathan. The reason I yelled at you is that one time I was like, Brian, it was because Nathan was arguing. Nathan and I were sitting next to each other, and he was arguing with me. No, like, my opponent and I had started our clock and we're deploying. He's like, you can't do that yet. I was like, no. It's death clock, Nathan. You get your ass moving. And he's like, no, he didn't say the master clock started yet. So I like yelled over for Brian. And Brian's like, Jeremy, stop being an idiot.
Yeah. Because by the rules, Nathan's correct. We slowly tweaked it. It's mostly just to get the thing. Because especially for the next rounds that are 50 points, we're going to start at 10 a.m. And if you want start, finish, you would go to exactly 8.
Which is...
So there's obviously going to be 10 to 15 minutes between rounds. So yeah, that's a whole extra hour, 15 minutes. And plus you have a good 15 minutes, you know.
Yeah.
And people were very good when... Because it was me and Dan were busy full time when Andy helps. Because, I mean, literally when rounds are finishing, we'd go to the table, we'd set up the terrain, we'd have to rearrange a terrain every... Yep. So we take turns between entering data and fixing the terrain. And then it would still be where, you know, three tables ended up. You know, the next round would start, there'd be one or two tables not quite have the terrain set up.
Well, but what was nice was because we had extra tables, we were able to, like, the people that finished last, we didn't play a game on that table the next time.
You just popped them over to a new table. Yeah,
which worked out really well.
But no, it was good. People had a ton of fun. John Acker
took it home.
Local-ish. We consider him local, but
I consider him a local.
He lives between here and Baraboo. If Baraboo and us wanted to have a fight for him, we could probably have a bidding war for John.
Yeah, we could get in a bidding war. Because technically he lives in Dearborn? Deerville?
Yeah,
something.
He's in this weird... He's an hour to everybody.
He lives right near where the Bed and Breakfast Kitty and I like to go to is.
Okay.
He lives in that town. But very cool guy. And our first really good Signar player in a long time. The last one we had was Jeff, who hasn't. I haven't seen him around the store in a long time,
he
actually,
shows
at all.
Up once in a while, but I think.
But he's been playing. But when I do see him lately, he plays Circle. So he hasn't played Signar.
I'm not sure if he's really wanting to be a competitive player.
I don't think anymore he wants to. He used to. He used to play competitively.
He was actually one of our surprising hits in the old Mayhem Cup.
Yep.
When all of our locals decided to trounce everybody else and all of our tournament players
we have some locals that don't ever travel, like him and John Service and some of these guys that are really good and just don't ever travel to tournaments.
Yep.
And hopefully by the end of this week we'll have all the stuff online. Because we're tracking everything from people love data.
Yep, people do love data.
So we're saving the first, so obviously, because we're going to publish, who won what, best of what faction. Yep. But then for every game, we have who won first, who won the die roll to go first, did they choose first or second?
Mm-hmm.
Then they went by assassination or scenarios.
Oh, they use all my shoots?
Yeah. Your sheets were a hit.
Your sheets were a hit.
Yeah, baby.
A few people said, they wished that the regular sheets. You need to make a new sheet, though, for the escalation, because it's going to be in the 5 rounds.
We need five lists.
That's not for a couple months, but converted.
We also need one, isn't it, for the... Oh, the, you mean the, like, 25...
20, it's 15, like 15, 15, 25, 35, 35 50, 75, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but I can make one for that.
We might just make it... Oh, yeah, but whatever. But that's... No, the player sheets were great. We had the zones we got from Muse were great.
Yep. They looked really good with
the
canvas.
They sit well on those tables. They really just
Fucker
down.
I forgot to give you mine. Jeff had them.
Oh, yeah,
it was my bad.
We had plenty.
We had no complaints on anything. It was good. The vinyl mats were hit.
Yep.
By the end of the day, they got a little sticky. Not bad sticky, but because when you first put the vinyl mats on there, they slide a real little bit, but not on their own. But I mean, if you bump a table, models are going to slide.
If you bump a table hard enough,
but sure. By like an hour into the game, the area, they just get a little, all that goes away.
They get just warm enough that they're going nowhere.
Yeah. So it worked out really well.
It was really nice.
I was almost thinking of maybe something we could almost like if there was like a spray, an adhesive or something.
Or just
an adhesive, but I mean something that would make it just a little bit tacky.
I think the wear and tear is going to do that by itself.
Yeah,
okay.
Really, yeah, they were really good by even just by the second round.
Nice.
It was really cool.
We had people come down from all sorts of places too. We had obviously Baraboo and
Steve Groom
Stevens Point guys came down.
Yep. We had a couple guys from Cedar Rapids.
Milwaukee had a huge...
One guy from Cedar Rapids walked up to me and said, "Hey, where's Katie? I thought she was going to be here." I was like, "Oh, Katie had to go visit a family friend." And he's like, "That's too bad. My brother said that I should meet Katie and that she's really awesome. And he said that you're a complete asshole." And I was like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, apparently, and I don't even know who his brother is because he like told me his brother's name, but I remember all the names. He's like, apparently I played his brother in one of the four pack in Cedar Rapids. And his brother's comment about me was, "That guy's a total asshole."
I mean, he's met you.
I mean, to be fair, I probably played Assyria.
Yeah, there was less Cedar Rapids players than I.
There were less Cedar Rapids guys than I thought there would be. Yeah, but yeah. So apparently, I'm an asshole.
Yeah.
Who knew?
It's so weird when I run an event. Some players did. I actually kind of all call it. I asked for a couple. Some people brought in some extra terrain and a couple extra desk clocks. And the only thing I really needed was a couple extra desk clocks. I think we'll be good for the next few events. And I don't even think I'll need any more terrain.
Yeah, we were actually really set for terrain. I think we had way more than we... Like, some of the people that brought stuff, we didn't even use it.
And Andy had brought, three boxes. And I opened up one of the boxes.
Two of them were even his.
Yeah. Well, I opened up the third box. And there's people... Because it's basically... Because people came early. And we had a good, a good system, but... I open up a third box and I pull out some stuff and Travis is like, "What the fuck? Where the hell did you get that shit?" I'm like, "What? Andy gave me this box. This is a bunch of buildings and walls." He's like, "That's Adepticon's terrain, and I have made that shit." I'm like, "I don't think." Shut up, Travis.
We're busy.
Trying to set up an event. He's like, "No, I can show you pictures of me making that." I'm like, "Whatever." And he's like going off for like, I swear to God, 16 hours later. He's like, "That's my terrain." So I let him leave with the terrain because I don't know. Because Andy, and I know Andy said, he somehow got it from. All I know is Andy got it years ago from Adepticon in some way or shape or other. That's all I knew.
It was part of the it was a box of terrain that was left over from the event, and I believe Travis is the one who gave me that box. And I had said it was like, "Oh, it's a Wisconsin number. I'll try contacting him." And I tried contacting him, never got an answer, called again, never got an answer, and then I just, it just sat in my closet pretty much since then.
And see, that's Andy's story. And then Travis's story is that Andy, like, threw him in front of a truck and then grabbed the box, and all he remembers hearing is him laughing as he ran away with the terrain.
Yeah.
It's pretty much Travis's story.
Yeah. It's been in Andy's closet for years.
Yeah. We used it, I think, maybe for one Who's the Boss event or something like that. But, yeah, I haven't even brought it out for anything.
Well, no, yeah. Well, a lot of it's really big, too. Like,
So it's the buildings around the, well, especially harder now. Those buildings, because with the 5-inch
rule. Because of the 5-inch rule, it's really tough to use big buildings.
Yeah. But yeah, it was beautiful terrain.
We it looked really cool. It. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Travis, but you handed me that box. That was,
That's okay. Travis got Nathan. All right. I have to tell this story. So,
how many minutes are we in this podcast? Just as
that. Yeah. How are we doing?
We're about 30.
So 31 minutes after this is posted, Travis is going to message me, I did not give him that box.
I'm calling it amazing.
It completely was. I mean, because that was the same kid who, at the same time, also left his Judicator.
Was that the Judicator? Because I remember
the Judicator, all the painted stuff with there.
Did we ever get that back to them?
It took like a year.
Yeah. We did. Yeah, it took forever. Anyway, so after like round four, for whatever reason, I get up and go away from my table, and I come back, and everyone's hanging out at my table. It's like Travis and JR and Alex and Nathan and my opponent, who was Brian Kerr, and several other people are all hanging around the table, and several of the guys at the table are going, you know, like chuckling to themselves. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what's so funny? And they're like, and Travis goes, Nathan took your wing, and he points at my Archangel, and my Archangel's down a wing. Now, there's only like 10 models on my tray, because one of my lists had 4 models in it.
Yeah, I heard that you played with all medium, or yeah, all huge bases.
2 huge bases and a Carny was my Thagrosh list.
Nice.
So I'm like, obviously had already noticed that the wing was missing, and I wasn't too worried about it because I've been taking it off all day. Because sure, you can't stand an Archangel next to a throne with both of its wings on.
Sure.
Like, it just gets in the way. So I assumed it was on the bottom of the tray, and I hadn't really bothered to look for it. And Travis is like, Nathan took your wing. And Nathan is like, God damn it, Travis. Don't you understand humor? Beep, boop, beep, boop. No understand humor. I'm a robot. And so, like, he's, like, literally still giving Travis shit, and Travis goes, and it's over there on that tray. And Nathan lost his mind. He's like, this isn't funny. You're a ruiner of fun and jokes, and you're a terrible person. And the whole table's dying laughing, of course, except Nathan, who was so mad. And Travis just turns and looks at him and goes, I think everybody finds this funnier than your joke.
Nice.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, Travis got him pretty good there.
He did.
it was... There was a lot of Kador.
There was a shit ton of Kador.
Let me guess. Everybody had Ruin.
The ones that were playing Kador all had Ruin.
Like, one guy had it painted because he got it from Adepticon.
So yep, one guy had it painted. Jordan had it assembled but not painted. And I think there were 2 or 3 other Kador players, all of which had Ruin. I found out that apparently I've been doing Ron wrong all these years. Apparently Battle Mages under his feet turn could just kill Colossals. At dice off 8, no problem. Don't even worry about it.
So the funny thing about... Jeremy lost his round 1. His opponent did have hot dice, but it's great.
I was so mad.
It was like a good 40 minutes later, and Jeremy's coming over. He came over to talk to his opponent about it. He's like, so I just went over, I did the math. And I'm like, first of all, it's always good when your opponent comes back to you hours later after they're on a calculator for a while. I always feel good.
One unit of Stormfall Archers and 8 Battle Mages picked up my Archangel. At dice off 8.
That sounds perfectly fine.
That does not sound okay.
It sounds perfectly fine. The Archangel's got like 48 health boxes.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And dice off 8 against the mm-hmm. Battle Mages.
Yep. Six dice, right?
No. So 3 dice.
So it was 8 Battle Mages.
Yeah.
So let's say they're rolling average. That's
okay.
20, 40 average.
So it's only 16.
16.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I felt like I got screwed a little bit.
You didn't get screwed.
But I was like, it happens. Dice happens. That's fine.
And that was Max, right?
Yeah, that was Max, who's a really good guy. I like Max a lot. I told him, I really enjoyed our game. I always have fun playing with you. I feel like the dice shit all over me. I'm going to walk away for a little bit. Like, I was just so frustrated because that was round 1. And, like, I thought, like, I've played Ron into big armor and it's terrible. Like, it's just horrific. I hate playing into big armor with Ron.
It shouldn't. I agree with you. As I am a Ron player as well as you, if I see a Colossal on the table and I don't have like Ossian or somebody like that, I'm like,
I have a sad.
I can't push it. I can't.
Yeah, it's just like,
I'm going to try to pull you around it.
Yeah. So like I like wandered away and like we finished our game fairly early because in one turn he killed the Archangel, the Throne, and a Carny. in one turn. And then he just won because he scored 3 control points that turn, and I couldn't physically contest both zones anymore, even by bringing a beast back. So it was just like, oh, well, that was a fun game. So
I'm sure he enjoyed the fuck out of that.
He did enjoy that game very much. So, like, we're wandering around for a while watching other people finish their games, and I wander around, I chat with some people, I go to the bathroom, and I'm in the bathroom, and I'm sitting there counting in my head the attacks against the Archangel, and I'm like, the fuck happened? Like, how does that happen ever? I was so mad.
He must have had some really hot dice in there.
His first battle mage at dice off 8? Did 8 damage.
So you trip 6s, yeah. Wow, nice.
I was just like, oh my gosh.
And Alex, did Alex get the retro coin?
Alex Schaefer?
Yeah.
Yes, he got the ret coin, yes.
I don't remember giving him the coin.
I don't remember you giving it to me either, but I think Dan
was handing it out, that's why.
Dan might have handed it out. But Alex Schaefer kicked ass with ret. So he was going to bring his trolls, because trolls are so good at 35. Yeah. He was going to bring his trolls. And then finally, the day he was leaving, he was like, fuck it, and threw his ret in the car instead. So he came up, and he didn't even have lists. Like, we were sitting there talking the night before, because he stayed at my place. And he's like, I don't know. I've got this Assyria list I like at 50. So I just pulled some things out of it and made it 35. And we were talking about it as a Assyria list, and I was like, he didn't have a Banshee in it. Like, there were a few other things I didn't really agree with. So we were talking about it. And he's like, well, there's no Banshee because I didn't bring my Banshee. And I was like, all right, well, I'll get you a Banshee. He's like, there's no Silas because I didn't bring Silas. I was like, all right, well, I'll get you my Silas.
Who leaves a house without a Banshee and Silas?
And what was the third? If the third one was equally ridiculous. Oh, and then like he only brought one Arcanist. So he's like telling me this list, and I'm like, I'm thinking about this list, and I'm like, why are you playing those models? Oh, there was something else he had to borrow. He borrowed yet another thing from me from Rhett that was like another classic Rhett thing, and I don't even remember what it was. Oh, he was short...
The Magister?
No, he had the Magisters. I don't remember. He borrowed Silas. So for the tournament, in order to play, he had to borrow Silas, a Banshee, an Arcanist, and a fourth fairly key Rhett model that I don't remember what it was.
Mage Hunter Assassin?
He had both his Mage Hunter Assassins. It wasn't that. Man, what was it?
Nail?
I can imagine. No, it wasn't. It's not. So it was in the tray with my medium base stuff. So it had to have been like a Griffin. He must have been a Hulk Griffin hands? Short for his Vyros list.
Okay. That
so he was going to play Vyros 2 in Assyria, and he was short a Griffin, an Arcanist, a Banshee, and Silas.
So he was 35 points short.
He was just roughly 35 points.
Alex just borrowed your armies for the event. So the funny thing is,
he borrowed my Silas and my Griffin, and then we got to the tournament, and that was when he realized he was short a Banshee and an Arcanist, so he had to borrow those from Max.
Oh, jeez.
Like, he just... had nothing with him, but he was like, his whole reason for bringing Rhett was he's been telling me how I'm in love with Rhett. How do I quit Rhett? And I said, the way you quit Rhett is you bring it to a tournament and you get your ass kicked for 5 rounds and then you quit Rhett. Am I right? Is that how you quit Rhett?
No, I didn't quit Rhett yet.
I know, but isn't it, like, that's the frustrating part of Rhett, is showing up to a tournament and just losing List Chicken for 4 rounds and just lose it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Rhett has a lot of List Chicken in it. It just, like, inherently is difficult to avoid.
Like, first round, you take on Bradagus.
Yeah.
Second round, you take on a bunch of Colossals. Yeah.
Yeah, so instead, he walked into Vlad 2 that he killed on top of 2. He walked into, was it Old Witch? It was another Kador player that he killed on top of 2.
Oh, yeah.
He played Vyros into Kalandra's theme, and Kalandra killed 0 models.
How did Old Witch not just be stealthy and just fuck him?
Have you heard of a serious feat?
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
Because he was playing
I forgot he was playing Assyria.
Yeah,
Assyria with
Banshee and Double Strike Force.
Yeah, oh.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it was just one unit of Strike Force with Commander, one unit with Eris 3. Like, he was just loaded for bear against War Machine.
Yeah.
And then he played the Griffins into Kalandra's Theme Force and just wrecked it. I don't remember what he played in round... round 4 was the other one that he second. So round 3, I don't remember what he played, but I know he dropped Assyria into it and won. That was the one Assyria game that went fairly long. And then in the 5th round, he faced our local Jordan. They were the 2 undefeated. Mm-hmm. There were 3 undefeated in round 5. And John Acker got the pair down. So it was him and Jordan were the 2 undefeateds playing each other. And it was Jordan's Butcher 1, Claws of the Dragon at 35, which is rough on red, I know from experience, versus his Assyria list. And he went for the assassination, and he had about 5 Strike Force that he thought were going to be in range of Butcher that were just out, and he left Butcher at 7 health.
And then
the game ended.
It's still a big thing to try to damage.
What?
Just finger a god those one.
Yeah, just... But yeah, so I mean, he had an amazing day. He had fun. He ended rounds early, which is one of the big tricks with Red is to like get some early wins, so you're not stressed the whole time.
He was the first or second table done a couple of rounds.
Yeah, two different rounds. Yeah.
Well, Well, that matches how he plays Legion then, too.
Yeah, it does. It does indeed.
That was pretty much Scott or Alex's thing then, too.
And also, there was no lunch break, so people had it if they went to lunch break.
Yeah, like I'm playing my third game, which was me versus Steve Groom, which was a really good game, by the way. And Alex comes over, and we're like, we were done deploying, but like it felt like the game hadn't even started yet. And he's like, "You want me to go get you lunch?" I was like, "Alex, I appreciate the offer since there's no lunch break, but we have 45 minutes on our death clock. I don't think I'm going to miss my lunch break. Like, it's nice that you're done early. Hooray. Go away. Let me play my game."
So you had your forest that was an archangel, a carny.
And the throne.
And the throne. And with who?
Pythagrosh.
Pythagrosh. You know what you should have did?
One?
No.
What's that?
No. You should have gone with the Archie, the throne, and the Lilith 3. I know, have all huge bases. Well, I think that would have been funny.
And like I wanted to do the armor skew, and I had a couple of games where the armor skew just wrecked my opponents. Like I had two games where I lost zero models.
Oh, okay.
With that Thagrosh list.
Well, yeah.
And I mean, and then I just rolled over people. And one of them, I felt bad, so I said I played Brian Kerr and he wasn't feeling well. Mm-hmm. One of them was against Brian Kerr. He dropped Doomshaper 1, which is the correct play, and the whole game I kept waiting for him to cast Purification and crush me with Mold. And then I was like, no, this turn, surely he'll cast Purification and crush. He never cast it the whole game.
Why?
Never.
Why, Brian?
Yeah. That's... I felt like the game ended and I was like, Brian, I'm really sorry. I couldn't bring myself to say this while we were playing, and I know you're not feeling well. But you have a spell in your card called Purification, and you should really cast it this matchup. And he was like,
And then he threw up everywhere. Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, my opponent's making a critical mistake. I'm definitely going to let him know as soon as it's over. Not right now. And I hope when someone walking by doesn't say the obvious Purification.
Like, several people were watching by the end, and you could just see, one of them was Alex, who plays Trolls, and you could just see this look on his face like, because like I had fuel cache and I used the throne to clear the rune shapers out of the way so the archangel could charge Molg for free, charged into Molg for free, put him to like 5 health and failed to kill him, which is horrific, right?
Because then Molg just kills the archangel and then eats him,
and instead he heals Molg a bunch, but doesn't attack because he's afraid he'll die to spiny growth. And I was just like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Well, it's kind of like when I played Tony at Adepticon, and Tony said, "Hey, I'm a really bad player," but I'm like, "I don't believe it, Tony. You're famous. You're obviously good at this game.
Teenage,
yeah. You are all these math articles. You're a genius. He's a genius. So I'm like, this guy, and he's playing a Harvey list against my body, because that's when I was body and souling all the noobs. And
including Teenage.
Well, yeah, so and he has Purification, so I still put out the spells just for the sake of putting out the spells.
Because you get them for free, why not?
So
he let you have
you start the game with him.
He didn't do anything?
He activated the model with Pursuit first.
Before Harvey.
And then Harvey second. By that time, the game was already over because then he was now in position to completely destroy him. Oh. He is bad at this game.
He paints beautifully.
Yeah.
He assembles models amazingly.
And he knows the odds.
He's really good at the odds. He's a great father. Those are all things he's good at.
He thinks he is.
He's a fantastic father.
Probably.
He's an amazing father. You've met his kid.
I know.
Archer with the 2 thumbs up. Yeah. Most disarming child in the world, by the way. Lila's great too, but Archer's a little older, so yeah, I just have more rapport with him.
After the game, you discuss their faults, but you wait till after the game.
Yeah.
I
wasn't going to, like, the third turn he didn't cast Purification. Like, I wanted to be like, Brian. And I just couldn't. Like, each turn he upkept a fortune on the Earthborn, and I was just like, that's a weird decision when you're obviously about to purify. Why would you do that? And then he didn't purify. And, like, he sent the Earthborn into the Archangel, but did it in such a way that it wasn't within a half inch of the throne, and the throne has a POW 5 weapon. And, like, he would have just wrecked the Archangel, but the Archangel's weapon's only, like, a 3. And so he was two POW less into the Archangel the whole time.
He moved up and took Molg's,
He was within a half inch of Molg.
He will recover from his illness and come back stronger.
He'll
have remembered all these details.
Yeah.
He's going to cast Purification first, no matter what's going on.
He put the Earthborn Animus up on Molg and then didn't put a wall next to him.
Oh.
Like, There were some critics. He was not feeling well.
Okay.
And to be fair, he told me, like, I mentioned Purification. He's like, you know, I'm really gun shy about casting Purification because, like, one of my, like, this is only, like, he's, I guess maybe he's a little newer to Trolls because he hasn't played a lot of Doom 1, he said.
He's probably newer to Doom 1. He might be newer to Doom 1. He's played a lot of Berica and stuff like that.
But he said, like, 4 games ago or so, he cast Purification and stripped his own Animi, and that really stuck out to him as a thing not to do. And so now he's really gun shy to cast Purification. I said, look, Brian, I don't want to tell you how to play this game, but you should cast Purification always and forever. Like, it's, stripping your own Animi is a drag, yes, but you should be casting that
you,
a lot.
You can always end up recasting that later on. I mean,
that spell is so good.
It's very useful. I mean, basically, like, I need to kill that thing, but if I hit it, Spiny Growth is going to do damage to me. Well, I'm going to purify that off, and then I can cast all my Animi and then go nuts.
I'm gonna take off 2 armor and the fact that I'm taking damage, and then Mulg's going to eat an Archangel.
Yeah.
Which is what I fully expected to have happen.
And that's what he will do. He will literally eat it. Once he's done with it,
because the Archangel had a charge, Thags was a little ways behind it, and he came up into half-inch reach of the Archangel with Mulg, and so he was within Thags' strength debuff which he didn't need to be. Like, if he'd been at just club range, he wouldn't have been at the -2 either.
He doesn't need that fist either, generally.
No, he does not need that fist. Like, he could have been 4 PS higher on his attacks with Mulg. And it was just... And so I lost 0 models. So...
Bazinga.
Oh, no, that's not true. He killed the throne after the game was already over because Doomy with 0 fury was engaged by the Archangel. He managed to kill the throne.
Okay.
So moral victory. He killed the throne. Man, I'll tell you what murders the shit out of Runeshapers. A throne with Draconic Blessing on it. Dice even, you charge in, you kill some Pal 17s with Draconic Blessing. So you charge in, you likely kill, and then you have a corpse, which you use to boost the damage on the next one, so you kill it. And then you have a corpse to boost the damage on the next one, and you kill it. And then you do a spray 12 into a million Rune Shapers, and it's just amazing.
You know what I do? Make that first tough check.
Yeah, that would be good. He didn't make a tough check the whole game.
Yeah, it's...
Oh, no, that's not true. He made a tough check on a free strike, and the Runeshaper wound up being in his own way to get Mulg where he wanted, or the Earthbreaker where he wanted him to go, because he made the tough check.
Oh,
nice. Yeah, it was a rough game for Brian, but it was fun. I had a really good time. I played all really good opponents. I got really frustrated just because of the dice with Max, but I had a lot of fun playing Max. I played Steve Groom, P-Vale versus E-Vale. He's really good with P-Vale, and I diced the fuck out of him. My dice got vengeance for my first game. He kills my Scythian with no reprisal because he's P-Vale. He just kills him and walks away. And I'm like, oh, well, that's bad. I guess I'll try to kill you now. Shoot him with the Ravagor, miss, drift, light him on fire. Walk up with Vale, cast Purify because I'm really good at order of activation. So I strip the fire off.
Nice. Good job.
I shoot him with the Oblit, hit him. He chooses to transfer an 11 damage obliteration, which doesn't kill Vale. And then I hit him again, and I roll a 13 for damage, which at dice plus 1 is 14, and exactly killed her, because she only had the one. Literally, I one-shot him with my last attack. He was pissed. But it was, I mean, he was going to murder me. Like, I'd already lost the game if I hadn't pulled it off.
That'll happen in a game. It does. So that's
when you play against Vale 2, though, you really got to camp 2 or 3 at all times.
Oh, yeah, because
Until she feats, you just have to. No matter what else you want to do.
And he didn't need to be so low either. Like, so... Yeah. But, I mean, he could have been, like, with her feet, he could have had her a little bit behind a wall, and he chose not to. He just didn't see it coming. He was really far back.
Yeah.
But because of the whole Arc Node thing, like, it didn't matter. Hilariously, I could have actually been, like, shooting her from her own Typhon, because Typhon was right next to her with his 360 vision, and it didn't occur to me, and so I shot my own beast instead, but I could have been shooting from, like, right on top of her.
Because you still use the line of sight.
Yeah, you still use the line of sight of the beast. And then I played the game against Brian Kerr, which was really good. I'm forgetting one of my opponents. The final round, I played a Kador player who kicked the crap out of me with Butcher 1. I tried my Pythagoras list into him again, and with Butcher's feet and Fury on Pikeman, it was horrific.
Yeah.
It was horrific. I might have actually won, except when I brought the Archangel back, I brought it back within range for Butcher to charge it. And so Butcher moved up, killed it, and was still able to cast Iron Flesh on himself.
No!
And so Thagrosh Mutagenesis went for it, and I did 17 of Butcher's 20 health with Thagrosh after the Mutagenesis. I rolled really hot. I rolled super hot.
Yeah.
But, like, the odds of that happening were just so low. And then, like I said, there's one more game in there I'm forgetting.
People were cheering against you, not to
finish. They were cheering against me. Like, an entire crowd was like, if he makes this, I'm going to just throw up.
That's pretty good. And then Brian Kerr threw it up.
Brian Kerr did throw up around that time. But yeah, so it was a really fun day.
We discovered that Jeremy has unbreakable plates that are not unbreakable.
They're not so unbreakable.
What?
You can tell the story, Brian.
Well, no, I'm just saying. So the going out for food, Jeremy had to go out to Jeremy's house and his barbecue, which was, I love that idea.
Because we had a bunch of people, because it was like me and Brian and Dan and JR and Alex and, Jordan.
There are some leftover people who came over.
Yeah, several folks for a barbecue.
Enough people at a restaurant would have been a pain.
Sure.
So we went back to my place.
You know, like, everyone grab your own meat, come and grill it.
Yeah.
And Jeremy is making this thing about how he has these plates where the salesman like was banging them around and saying they're unbreakable. So I'm holding on to it for a minute. I said
basically unbreakable.
You said they were indestructible.
Basically indestructible. I used the word basically.
I heard indestructible. So everyone's kind of looking at me, looking at you, looking at me, looking at you, looking at me, and I'm just looking at the plate. And
Brian's holding a plate this whole
challenge
time.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah, I'm just staring. It's like 5 minutes of me just staring at the plate. Everyone knows what I'm thinking. And I'm just like, and then I'm like, Katie's not here, which was really the tiebreak, which was really what pushed over the edge.
It was.
And I'm just holding it. My hand is down at my knee length, and I just let it go. I don't throw it.
On my back patio, over cement, mind you, not in the house.
Okay.
Like, over cement.
And it hits the ground, and it just shatters.
Everywhere, like a billion pieces.
And there's a pause for a second. Everyone just looks at it, and then everyone just starts laughing. But I just couldn't help it. We're not telling Katie this, by the way.
So what I told Brian is, the deal I made Brian is, he can bring it up with Katie anytime he wants. I am not going to bring it up to her. But as soon as she asks why we're short a plate, I will tell her. And then Brian will suddenly die. And he won't know why. He'll know why. He's going to live in fear of that moment.
These plates were forged in the fires of Mount Doom and are indestructible. And I had to test that.
Basically indestructible.
They weren't even close. I thought at worst maybe it would chip.
It did not.
And it shattered.
It shattered.
And then I'm like, well, that was concrete. Sort of the afterthought.
Because I've dropped them in my house before on my wood floors, and they've been fine. But there's a big difference between a wood floor and cement, as it turns out.
As it turns out.
Yeah.
So you should go and find that salesperson and say, Hey. Hey!
Bullshit. Oh, I want to go to a store where they have these indestructible plates. And this place is—it's
Bed Bath & Beyond.
Oh, I need to go. I'm like, give me 10 seconds.
You didn't get those plates from Beyond, did you?
No, apparently not.
Apparently not.
If they were from Beyond, they would have survived it.
Yeah, probably.
The ones from Beyond are forged in the fires of Mount Doom.
Yeah, don't tell. Yeah, just don't challenge Brian. So
apparently that was a challenge accepted that I didn't realize I'd offered. Like, I was just explaining, because Jer has the same plates, and we were talking about it, about how the salesman always does that shtick when they sell them to you. And JR even mentioned in that conversation that they have broken, like, two of theirs.
They chipped one of theirs.
I thought he said he'd broken one, too.
I heard chip.
He definitely chipped one. That definitely he said. But anyway... So anyway, but barbecuing was fun. We had a good time.
So, Mad Max.
Mad Max.
We all saw it.
It was really good.
I saw it opening day. I flipped out about it.
It's really good.
So fucking good.
It was really good.
It's basically my what I told everyone else that needs to see it. If you
spoiler alert.
No, not even spoiler alert.
I'm going to talk spoilers, so I'm just saying
if
spoiler
If you alert. Liked Road Warrior.
Which I've never seen.
And you enjoyed, what?
I've never seen any Mad Max movies except this one.
Do you want to go through a marathon?
Not tonight, but sometime. I've heard that I want to see
the first one's questionable.
I've heard I want to see the something Warriors Road.
You want to see the Road Warrior?
Road Warrior. That's the one I've heard I want to see.
Mad Max 1 is at least worth one viewing. It is a little boring. Road Warrior is the best. It's basically the best one. Well, Beyond Thunderdome is really good. It's really good for about 75% of the film too.
Fair enough.
But yeah, if you like the Road Warrior and you like the final 30 minutes of the Road Warrior of basically Max driving a semi down the road and they're being attacked, et cetera, just think of that being drawn out for two hours.
That being a movie.
And that's the movie.
The fact that they put so much effort into making everything, you know, realistic.
Practical effects.
The fire still looked kind of fake to me. I mean, obviously there was some fake fire in there. Some of the scenes it couldn't. But I don't know why... Like the maybe the fire to and I don't no one else has complained about this but me. Maybe it's because it's more has the movie has a lot of an orange tint or a blue tint to it.
It does. It has a very bright
and
tint to it.
And I think the tint is what makes the fire look a little bit different
to you.
Yeah,
to me, it just but the fire. There's, yeah,
because I didn't pick up on that. But.
There's a couple spots in there where you see an explosion where it just kind of where the fire just really kind of really pops. But generally, like the flames coming out, all the tailpipes and that, yeah, those all look fine.
Yeah, the car, yeah, the fire. It was just like some of the massive explosions seemed a little unnatural.
That's fair,
but yeah,
but it was amazing. I really, really enjoyed it.
The characters were, I mean, they're
all really for,
as simplistic as the characters were. I liked how they just basically just went directly into this world. They didn't have any kind of voiceover, any kind of talking about how you know. Morton Joe has got, you know, this thing here. It just went right into it.
Yep.
Yeah, this warlord has this huge army. All these characters are very weird. It doesn't really fully... Like, the one guy's sick. He has his blood bag, but he doesn't explain... Did they explain why...
Didn't explain why they're sick.
They never explain mother's milk.
No.
I mean, you see them milking it out of them, and then he's washing himself. He's like, what is this crap? It's mother's milk. And that's it. That's the only reference to mother's milk in the whole movie. Like, it's just this, just like, yeah, don't worry about it.
He was confused by what milk was kind of funny.
Yeah. There's like, don't worry about it. It's just... Like I thought that was going to be like a thing because they brought it up twice, and then nope, doesn't matter. It's just breast milk. Don't worry about it.
The action was very good. The chase scenes were very good.
Yep.
The main character, the villain was pretty great. If the villain would have had a speech as good as the Road Warrior speech, I think it would have been perfection. But there wasn't like a good. Not saying it needed a speech, but I mean the Road Warrior, Lord Humongous, gives us the best speech in movie history.
Yeah,
maybe they didn't want to copy the same. Maybe they didn't want to like impede on that speech.
Yeah.
But they could have had this villain use the exact same speech, and that would have been acceptable. I'm like, okay, fine. It's the best speech. I mean, why not just steal the best thing? No movie speech. Even like Deadpool Society could have used this speech instead of that speech. Which now I need to put into Deadpool Society.
The cool part, though, is even the main villain is the villain from the very first Mad Max.
No, it's the same actor.
It's not the same villain, but I mean, it's the same actor. But he's just playing a new villain.
Yeah, that's really cool.
But that's cool. We're talking about spoilers though. But that was the one thing I really liked about the Road Warrior is that even though you have this giant group of good guys, the bad guys and the good guys, they just people die. People die no matter who they are.
Oh,
even
yeah.
if it's the you know the
doesn't matter how
the
important
innocent
you are.
Or how important you are, you're dead.
Yeah,
a lot I mean there's so died. Many people that die in that film, which is it feels realistic.
Yeah,
of what I would expect in a world like that is just
it's a very very harsh world.
Yes,
it really portrays it as harsh and ridiculous. I think Tom Hardy was fine as Mad Max. I'm not a huge Tom Hardy person. Like I don't dislike him because he was Bane. Because I thought him as Bane was fine.
Yeah,
but as an actor, like I've never seen him do things. Honestly, I've liked him in some of his romantic comedies more, which is kind of sad statement. But he's never really stuck out. He's never really popped me as an actor that impresses me. He's just an actor that I see that he's just very neutral on.
Yeah,
I thought. I mean, granted, like Mel Gibson didn't really have that huge of an acting role in all the Mad Max films.
No, exactly.
So he was very just there. Yeah. In a sense. And
I think the only thing different between Gibson and Hardy is I thought Gibson's like had better facial expressions. But Mad Max is not a talker.
No.
So, I mean, that didn't really make it exactly. They didn't need so much of dialogue. And Tom Hardy's not a bad actor. He just doesn't really pop to me yet. He hasn't done that thing that made me like, you know.
Yeah. And Furiosa was fucking amazing, by the way.
Well, then that was just funny. Charlize
Theron. I mean, she's a great actress anyway, but she did a really good job.
When she's on, it's just like, as long as spaceships aren't falling on her, she can handle anything.
Are rolling towards her, not falling.
As long as running straight forward is an option, she's okay. If you expect her to turn left or right, she's gonna get fucked. But that's her weakness as a human being. It's actually in the script.
Zoolander. She can't only instead of not being able to turn to the left, she can't turn either direction.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in the original script, they had her survive and turn, but she's like, I can't turn. So I'm like, well, I guess write it in the script. And that's a little known fact.
Yeah, the amount of detail that one of my friends that went to go see it on that Thursday when it came out was he was about like 75% of the film when he finally realized that the truck that Furiosa is driving isn't really a truck.
Yeah.
it's like a modded together semi.
Like cars on top of a tanker.
All the guys, like the guy of whatever gas town or whatever it's called in Bullet Place. The custom vehicles that those guys had.
The Bullet Farm guy's vehicle was awesome.
The tank tread?
The tank tread. Yes.
That guitar really shot fire, too. That was like a realistic thing. That was like, they did that. It was a fire shooting.
I want to have my own vehicle follow me around. Drums and guitar.
Oh, my God. That was amazing. It was
such a good way to have like rock music in your soundtrack and just have it be there. That was so good hearing that.
There were a lot of cool vehicles in that movie, and I'm going to come out and say the best vehicle was that fucking guitar vehicle. That was amazing.
Even those like porcupine fucking things
were really cool. Yeah,
desert guys. I love the scene after they end up destroying one of the vehicles, and then all of a sudden you see a semi-truck version of that thing come through the clouds, like, and then the fucking backhoe on the back of the thing. Like, what? It is so fucking overwhelming.
It actually made me very upset that there's not a good car miniature game out there.
Like, Car Wars is pretty solid.
I'm talking
about... It's not the same, though.
I'm talking like actual miniature... Like Jim tried to buy into that one game. It was like a little. It was kind of a car battle game, but it didn't quite work out terribly well. It was a resin game that was sold at Gen Con or at Adepticon or some con.
Yeah, some con. Yeah,
Minicon. But yeah, there's not. I mean, like, Gorkamorka was like the closest thing we had to this in some ways.
Yes.
And even for video games, the closest we get is like Twisted
Mario
Metal.
Kart.
Well, Twisted Metal. Twisted Metal or Mario Kart, and I like both those games for what they are. But you still don't get the same feel of the Mad. No. There's no Mad Max style.
Have you seen the new Mad Max trailer?
No.
There is a Mad Max game that's being made that looks if we want to watch it after here, I'll pop it on. It's like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But it's a gameplay trailer of Mad Max.
Yeah.
Where you basically wander around the wastelands building up your car, going for missions to get
you new
items.
Not to say that I think I saw that and I think it was amazing. But
your mind was wiped from the movie?
Well, it was, but I'm like, I mean, I want a good video game like that and I want a good miniature game like that, because those are things that should exist. In today's world, we should have that already.
And see, I'm not even like much of a car guy, but I really enjoyed Mad Max.
So the vehicles are just so well done. Just the way the car, like it felt like it was lived in. That's I guess the best part is like all the war boys. They all felt like that they've been doing this for years. Yep. This is how they do.
Yeah. We start off at an established villain camp.
Yeah. Yep.
Villain. Well, he was kind
of. He's not really a villain.
He's kind of a villain.
No, he gives him water.
Yeah.
Some of don't these get are addicted. Horrific, terrible person.
Don't get addicted to water. Don't do it.
If I had five relationship women, I would keep him locked up in a safe.
I mean, having five sexy women doesn't make you a villain. It's the other things he does.
I'm pretty sure the fact he makes him live in a safe as a sex slave probably makes him a villain.
I think he's just been going through a lot of them because all the other, the heavier set ones
were obviously pregnant at some point.
I assure that they were probably originally.
Well, I couldn't decide because the ones that were milking, like, they looked like they maybe had radiation. And so they made a big deal out about those five being pure and clean and having all their teeth, like they bring up how they had lead teeth and whatever. Yeah. Like the ones that were being milked looked like they had some radiation going on.
I love that the one character had the cancer in his lungs.
Yeah, the Billy and Willie or whatever.
He put smiley faces on him.
I like their holy religion. It's like, you know, I praise be to V8 when he's pulling off the wheel.
The spraying chrome's
paint. Yeah, it's because you got to go out shiny. I liked how it just felt lived in. It felt like it was an established religion that's just how they did things. And that was...
It embraced what it was. You know, and I know that I'm in a movie that's not as good as it. And the director's cut's even worse, but the second Riddick movie has the same feel to me. Like, the director's cut of the Chronicles of Riddick, which is with the bad guys, the space dudes.
The Necromon.
That movie has such an established lived-in feel. It's just the director's cut is kind of a mess of a movie, but they have such an established religion, world, factor, universe created in what it was. It just didn't do it as well. Mad Max made it was just so much better, and it was the same feel, but it was its own created thing.
Well, I think that something that's different between Mad Max and Chronicles of Riddick is Mad Max isn't trying to defeat anyone. He's not trying to...
He's just trying to... Well, you get in his head at the beginning a little bit. It's kind of obnoxious and kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's...
He just wants to survive. That's all he wants.
Yeah, basically, then that's pretty much the story of all the Mad Maxes. He just basically wants to get gasoline. He wants to go on his way.
Yeah.
Be on his own. Unlike the first movie, though, he just wanted revenge. But, yeah.
Yeah, he has no higher purpose other than just to, like, live and...
He's basically just there.
Well, in the Beyond Thunderdome, they make it where he would have missed his chance to go, but, you know, that was because he may not have went anyway, but because he was saving the day, so he couldn't be with the people.
Which kind of scares me what happened in between Thunderdome and there, because he was in charge of a lot of kids, and then he had a lot of horrible memories of flooding back to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm wondering if... I'm almost curious to know what happened after Thunderdome.
You know, he says, you know, if you drive out the desert, you know, for 165 days, there's nothing there. Are you sure you should, you know? I mean, probably right.
I mean, you're probably right, but you don't... Like, he seemed like he knew, is my point.
But he's kind of crazy. He is a little crazy. I would follow her for 165 days.
I would probably do it, too. I wouldn't follow the guy who was strapped to the front of a car earlier in the movie.
No.
Yeah, good action, good fight scenes. I enjoyed it. Now, the real movie this summer that was Pitch Perfect 2.
That was amazing.
I still have to say Nathan Jones's portrayal of Rictus was actually really awesome.
Which was Rictus?
He was the big strong guy.
Oh, I had a brother, that guy.
Yep. Probably my favorite part of that movie. I'm not going to spoil it, but just how he ends.
He does end pretty impressively.
How he brings about that end himself is just fucking amazing.
That guy is a monster.
Yeah.
We'll give him that.
Yeah. He was a former professional wrestler. I think he's also done a lot of strongman competition stuff.
I could see that.
So. Seems fair. He could have been the mountain.
He could have been the mountain.
He was big enough for that.
Yep.
All right, you guys are talking about Pitch Perfect.
Pitch Perfect 2 was amazing.
I'm going to go take a piss.
It's a direct follow-up from the first amazing Pitch Perfect
movie. Which was also Akamazing.
Most of the same cast. Obviously, the one lead girl was...
Well, I thought it was really funny that they took, like... They were like, we're going to manufacture a reason why you can't add anyone new to the cast.
Yeah.
Just do the same cast. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, and they end up giving you, like, one new cast member.
Yeah.
You lose one, you gain one.
Yep.
And just like the first movie, it's a group of like six or eight girls, basically.
Something like that,
and,
yeah.
And they only get story on like three of them at any given time. Yeah. Like the other four are there for funny one-liners. Like the Japanese girl always says creepy things.
Quietly.
That's her thing. I mean, there's a lot of shallow characters in the background, but there's also a lot of just fun.
There's the two girls that they make the joke that she doesn't know which of them's which, and they both say their names the same thing.
Yeah. So yeah, they make fun of their own little shenanigans. Yeah. And then they have the hosts that do all the announcing. They have Elizabeth Banks, who directed the movie.
Did she really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
And her announcer buddy, who I should know his name.
You should know his name. He's been in stuff.
Well, he's been in stuff. He's been in all the the Christopher Guest stuff.
What about Christopher Guest?
One of the actors that does, there's like Elizabeth Banks and this other actor, who I can't think of his name, do all like the, they like do whatever they're performing.
They're the announcers.
Oh, is it what's his name that is like, what happened?
No, it's not him, but it looks like him.
Okay.
It's not Fred Ward.
They're like the color commentators, but they're amazing.
Well, because he's super racist.
He's super racist and sexist. He's both.
Yeah, he's both.
He's both. Let's not limit him.
Yeah.
In his ists.
But they just sing a lot, and it's amazing. It's just they have a very fast paced level of humor.
Yep, they do.
And it's just and I don't know. It's just
and like weird. Usually a character like something I'll say is if you haven't seen the movie, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But something that usually would annoy me is a character like Fat Amy. Someone like that usually just annoys me in a movie, but they do just enough things with her where you get that like that gag bit in, and then they do a couple of scenes where she's like kind of sweet and serious, and then she's not in the way the rest of the time.
Yeah, it's not like she's the fat one who just screws up everything. She does screw up something, but overall she has a lot. She's more helpful than she's hurtful.
Correct. She's not the female Chris Farley.
Exactly. I mean, she'll have the one thing, but then for the most of it, she's actually an important part of the cast.
Yeah.
And even in the first one, they did a good job.
The
people have their quirks, but they're actually part of the crew.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like where they're not exactly fat shaming her.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Where she, you know, like a good friend. Like, you guys, like, let me be part of things sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I do like your comment. So I saw something when I was getting the $20 out of your purse, like I do, and you pretend not to notice every month. Like, she is kind of ridiculous, but...
And then
the main girl, the brunette, is just... amazing.
She's amazing. Yeah,
she's amazing.
And of course, in the they have like the Germans, the big bad guys.
Das Sound Machine.
Evidently, the guy, the main actor, he's like a big YouTube sensation star.
Really?
He has a bunch of his own YouTube shows and stuff.
Oh my god!
He drives around doing all the sorts of like he's a big like DJ and he has like just millions of followers.
When they do the sing off with the Green Bay Packers, Das Sound Machine, them, and then the guy from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, yeah. I almost lost my shit.
Yeah, they have the pack. They have a bunch of the Packers there.
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah. But, god damn it. Why are you guys doing this?
It's
why
fantastic.
Why are you guys going to make me watch this movie? Pitchford,
you know, if you don't believe us, ask Chili Winters. He will back us up. Yeah,
Michael Chili Winters will back us up. He went and saw both, and he said that both were amazing, and Pitch Perfect 2 was better. And he's, I don't know, like, I can't bring myself to decide whether he's wrong.
They're radically enough different. They're radically different. I can't really rate them against each other.
Here's the terrible thing. This is my own personal hell that I've been struggling with since our double feature yesterday. Both of them were amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I am mildly concerned that I liked both of them better than Age of Ultron.
I will say this. I enjoyed Mad Max more than I enjoyed
Age of Ultron. Age of Ultron. I'm not knocking Age of Ultron, no. But I think I might have enjoyed both of these movies individually better than Age of Ultron.
I would say Age of Ultron is a solid A-. Mm-hmm. But I would say Mad Max. I'm hoping. I don't know. Is it showing at the IMAX here?
Probably, maybe.
I thought Avengers was
in
playing
3D's
at the
only. It was in 3D.
I did see Mad Max the second time in 3D.
I'm not sure if it's on IMAX or not.
But in 3D, it was actually pretty. It was actually pretty decent. It didn't really detract from the film at all.
Because I'm always nervous to watch an action film mm-hmm. in 3D.
But Mad Max, easily, I enjoyed that movie more than Age of Ultron. Like immediately as soon as it done, I was like, I need to see this again as soon as possible. Even when I drove 8 hours down to Columbus, Ohio,
you wanted to see it again.
I convinced one of my friends because we weren't going to go see shows until like 3 o'clock. Yeah. Like, we should go see Mad Max now. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is easily my favorite movie of the year so far.
Yeah.
Anna Kendrick is the actress's name.
The brunette.
Yeah.
The really, really hot brunette.
Who she can't. And the Germans have like a.
That's sexually confused.
So the Germans have, you know, the guy's name is Flulu. Or Flulu. I think that's his. He's got such a. Yeah, Flulu.
The big giant.
Flulu Borg is the.
Das Sound Machine. Yeah. The German.
The Germans have this big, hot, you know, tall female lead. And it's just.
And the brunette is always like.
Your sweat smells like cinnamon.
Damn it! She's like trying to insult her, and said she keeps paying her compliments. And then when she says, "Why do you make me question my sexuality?"
Jesus,
it's amazing.
So I have to watch Pitch Perfect and then go see
this. You need to see the first. I would definitely.
I think you could enjoy two on its own, but you will enjoy it much more if you see one first.
Okay,
it's probably only like a B+ without seeing the first one.
I have to say. And I don't know what this means, but I like musicals, like musical themes.
You know, Brian, I mean, you're single, you're in your 40s, you live with a guy. Like, I mean, we all kind of figure
you like.
There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm telling you, when I see some of these ladies doing their thing, I'm definitely.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
I don't even care. It's amazing.
You've seen Hamlet too, haven't you?
Hamlet?
Hamlet too.
No.
You need to see Hamlet too, like no. As soon as possible.
Did I tell you I'm going to see Dirty Dancing when my parents come into town? It's playing at the
Majestic?
The Majestic, or whatever. No, not the Majestic. The other one downtown. Not the Majestic, not the Orpheum. The
Art Center, whatever it is.
Yeah. Overture.
Overture, yep. Yep.
So Katie convinced me to. Katie really wants to go see it. And I was like, oh, yeah, that sounds like fun. And my parents are in town next weekend when it's showing. So the four of us are going to go see it. But yeah, so I'm going to go see. And I'm going to probably enjoy the shit
Sad
out of
news.
It.
Sad news. Patrick Swayze's not in it.
I know. That is unfortunate. And also the girl from.
But his
Jennifer
ghost
Gray
might be in it.
His ghost might be in it. With Whoopi Goldberg.
Yes. But yeah, and I'm actually excited to go see it. So. But I went and saw the Big Fish musical in Chicago. Yeah. And that was amazing. I mean, Big Fish.
Never seen Big Fish.
Have you never seen the movie?
Never seen it.
Okay, so no lie, Big Fish, the movie, on my top 10 list. Yeah. Top 10 movies of all time.
We can go back and
it's got Ewan fucking McGregor in it, who's also in
Moulin Rouge.
Yes, thank you, Moulin Rouge, which is an amazing musical.
Have you seen Repo?
Repo?
The genetic opera?
No. You watch weird things, Andy.
It's a good musical. It's a very weird musical, but it also has Anthony Head. It has Giles.
Giles from that sounds from cool. Buffy. And Sarah Brightman.
But if I want to watch a weird musical, I want to watch Fifth Element.
No, but do you know who Sarah Brightman is?
Sarah Brightman.
She played, what's her name from Phantom?
The brunette, like the main lead from Phantom.
Yeah,
she's amazing.
Yeah, yes,
amazing.
I'm not sure if I'm a fan
of the opera, not just because of her.
I'm not sure if it's the same Phantom.
The one the Phantom's in love with. Oh, yeah. I'm talking the movie. The movie they did somewhat recently.
She's the one actually with Phantom.
I was going to go down the stupid Phantom movie from like the 90s.
No.
With Billy Zane?
With Billy Zane.
No.
Phantom.
That is
with
not what
Billy
I'm
Zane about. And Treat Williams? That movie is amazing.
I mean, anything with Treat Williams.
My friend down at the concert got a skull ring, and I was nice. I was trying to tell him to start punching people to leave skull imprints on their foreheads.
Nice.
But anyway,
we had the most baller of weekends. Oh, also, six-pack callback. I won Best of Hordes. Ask me what place I placed, Andy.
Fourth.
Nope.
Eighth?
Nope.
12th?
10th place, and I got Best of Hordes.
It was a day good for War Machine.
It was a really good day for War Machine. Out of 38 players, I got 10th, and I had Best in Hordes.
Mm.
And the 11th place I beat on Army Points. We were tied. He was Trolls, and we were tied for Strength of Schedule and record and everything.
Nice.
And Control Points. It went down to Army Points between him and I for Best of Hordes.
That's a nice tie.
So...
that's why it exists. It exists.
Yes. It is a good final tiebreaker.
Yeah. So are we going to jump down to recommendations?
Might as well recommend something.
We should.
Mad Max.
Okay. Pitch Perfect 2.
What's happening? Play Hearthstone.
Perfect.
For the longest time, the game just annoyed the fuck out of me.
Isn't it amazing once you start getting cards?
Yeah. I think it's just a variety of cards and understanding. Because, I mean, each card game still has a different feel and theme and understanding some elements. And now that I actually can, like... yeah, and I'm even excited. I've stopped playing Clash of Clans, and I'm playing Hearthstone and Heroes of the Storm. Like, that's what I need to do. That's my computer. And Mortal Kombat. That's my video game entertainment now are those three things.
Yeah. And you're not wrong. I want to start playing more Heroes of the Storm again. I was playing it for a while, and I got really into it. And then you stopped playing, and Alex and JR stopped playing, and you guys were the three that I mostly was.
My friend Chris is playing it a bunch. Because
if you're not on audio with people, it's just not the same experience. Like for me, Alex says he prefers to play by himself so that he can shit talk with people that he doesn't know, which I get. I can see where that would appeal to Alex. But like, I really enjoy playing with people I know.
I'd like to be there when he's shit talking people.
He's
just
amazing,
to listen.
Man. I have listened to Alex lay down some epic shit talking.
Nice.
I didn't even understand all of it because a lot of it was fairly technical MOBA shit talk.
And I'm not saying I'm good at Heroes of the Storm. I just enjoy playing it.
I enjoy playing. I'm very bad.
I will say you are worse than me at it.
That's entirely well. Depends on the hero I'm playing. When I play Diablo, I am worse than a bot.
Yeah, well.
Like, you'd be better off being down a person.
It is pretty amazing.
I'm terrible with Diablo.
I've had that game for such a long time. I was in the alpha for it, and I've played it a few times.
What's their shooter call is coming out?
Oh, the new one.
Overwatch, yep.
Which, the commercial for that, by the way, looks like a fucking Pixar movie. That's an amazing commercial.
Yeah, they're...
JR showed it to me while he was visiting, and I was like, how have I not seen this?
Yeah,
how did you guys not tell me about this?
They released that at BlizzCon.
Yeah, that's what he told me. And it literally looks like a Pixar movie. Yeah. Like, I want to see the rest of that movie that they made a commercial out of.
Blizzard does really good with all their animated shit. Like, all their stuff for Diablo 3, Diablo, all of them, and Warcraft. Just beautiful looking things. Why don't you just... make that into a movie.
Yeah. And I was watching the commercial, and as soon as the sniper came on the screen, I was like, and I'll play that class. And Jordan was like, of course you will, pussy. And then the gorilla came in like this, and Jordan's like, I'm sold. Because he loves tanks. That's his thing.
Yeah.
It looks really, really good.
I need to watch Alex or JR, sorry, showed me that there's like play videos of like 20 different characters or something stupid. So I need to go watch those, but I haven't had a chance yet. It looks amazing.
I need to show you the Mad Max thing as soon as we're done here.
Fine.
Yeah.
If it's what I think it is, it's amazing.
All right. Fair enough.
All right. So we're calling it quits?
Yeah. Thanks for listening to episode 115, where we talk about nothing related to War Machine.
And Hearthstone.
We talked about some things in War Machine.
We did talk about War Machine.
We won.
We win.
Yay.